Acts chapter 1, begin at verse 1. The former treatise have I made, O Theophilus, of all that Jesus began both to do and teach until the day in which he was taken up. After that, he threw the Holy Ghost and given commandments unto the apostles whom he had chosen, to whom also he showed himself alive after his passion by many infallible proofs, being seen of them 40 days and speaking of the things pertaining to the kingdom of God. And being assembled together with them, commanded them that they should not depart from Jerusalem, but wait for the promise of the Father, which, saith he, ye have heard of me. For John truly baptized with water, that ye shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost not many days hence. When they therefore were come together, they asked of him, saying, Lord, wilt thou at this time restore again the kingdom to Israel? And he said unto them, It is not for you to know the times or the seasons which the Father hath put in his own power. But ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost is come upon you. And ye shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost part of the earth. And when he had spoken these things, while they beheld, he was taken up, and a cloud received him out of their sight. And while they looked steadfastly toward heaven as he went up, behold, two men stood by them in white apparel, which also said, Ye men of Galilee, why stand ye gazing up into heaven? The same Jesus, which is taken up from you into heaven, shall so come in like manner as ye have seen him go into heaven. Then returned they unto Jerusalem from the mount called Olivet, which is from Jerusalem a Sabbath day's journey. And when they were come in, they went up into an upper room, where abode both Peter and James and John and Andrew and Philip and Thomas, Bartholomew and Matthew, James the son of Alphaeus, and Simon Zelotes, and Judas the brother of James. These all continued with one accord in prayer and supplication with the women and Mary the mother of Jesus and with his brethren. And in those days Peter stood up in the midst of the disciples and said, the number of the names together were about 120. Men and brethren, this scripture must needs have been fulfilled, which the Holy Ghost by the mouth of David spake before concerning Judas, which was guide to them that took Jesus. For he was numbered with us and had obtained part of this ministry. Now this man purchased a field with the reward of iniquity, and falling headlong, he burst asunder in the midst, and all his bowels gushed out. And it was known unto all the dwellers at Jerusalem, insomuch as that field is called in their proper tongue Aseldama, that is to say, the field of blood. For it is written in the book of the Psalms, Let his habitation be desolate, and let no man dwell therein, and his bishopric let another take. Wherefore of these men which have companied with us all the time that the Lord Jesus went in and out among us, beginning from the baptism of John unto that same day that he was taken up from us, must one be ordained to be a witness with us of his resurrection. And they appointed two, Joseph, called Barsabas, who was surnamed Justus, and Matthias. And they prayed and said, Thou, Lord, which knowest the hearts of all men, show whether of these two thou hast chosen, that he may take part of this ministry and apostleship, from which Judas by transgression fell, that he might go to his own place. And they gave forth their lots, and the lot fell upon Matthias, and he was numbered with the 11 apostles. So far we read from the scriptures. And the text that we consider are verses 9 through 11. And when he had spoken these things, while they beheld, he was taken up, and a cloud received him out of their sight. And while they looked steadfastly toward heaven as he went up, behold, two men stood by them in white apparel, which also said, Ye men of Galilee, why stand ye gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus, which is taken up from you into heaven, shall so come in like manner as ye have seen him go into heaven. Dearly beloved, in our Lord Jesus Christ, the book of Acts goes with the book of Luke, both written by Luke, the first work, the first treatise, is about what Jesus began to do and to teach. And he makes a reference to that. He says, The former treatise have I made, O Theophilus, of all that Jesus began both to do and teach until the day in which he was taken up. And this book, the book of Acts, speaks about the things that Jesus would do and teach, what he would do now from heaven. And through his apostles. And it begins with a record of the ascension of Jesus Christ. The ascension is also mentioned by Luke in Luke chapter 24. There Luke speaks of the ascension as well. And at the very end of that book, he says in verse 49, And behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you, but tarry ye in the city of Jerusalem until ye be endued with power from on high. And he led them out as far as to Bethany, and he lifted up his hands and blessed them. And it came to pass, while he blessed them, he was parted from them and carried up into heaven. The apostles witnessed this. And it came to pass, while he blessed them, he was parted from them and carried up into heaven. And the disciples saw that. It brings out in the text we consider, it says that while they beheld, verse 9 and verse 10, And while they looked steadfastly toward heaven, bringing out that there was significance to the fact that the disciples watched this happen. That is significant is also brought out in our confessions. We say, How dost thou understand these words? He ascended into heaven. That Christ, in sight of his disciples, was taken up from earth into heaven. That in our creeds we make a point of bringing out that it was in sight of his disciples. Certainly they thought about this. In fact, they repeatedly spoke of it. You think of the effect that this had on them. as they saw this event. You think of how before this, we think of how we read at times about their wrong understanding, having a certain wrong understanding with regards to the kingdom. And now they see him ascend. And he has given them instruction before this about the kingdom. And now they see him ascend. And as they go forth, after the Spirit is poured out, as they go forth to preach the gospel, they make a number. We see in a number of places in the scriptures how they make a reference to this event. How Christ ascended and how he will return. The passage that we have read speaks about both. It speaks about how he ascended, and we think about what that means. What does it mean that he ascended? What does it mean that he sits at the right hand of God? How is that of advantage to us? We think about what the scriptures tell us about that even now. How is that an advantage to us? But then we also think of the promise. We think of the fact that he promised the Spirit, but ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you. And we consider that he promised that he spoke of that. And then we also think about what we read of in verse 11, the promise of God that says, he shall so come in like manner as ye have seen him go into heaven. We also are to think about this. We know this happened. We read this. We were not there as the disciples were at the moment that it took place. We have no doubt that this happened, exactly as the scriptures tell us that it did. And we too meditate on this. We think about the fact that our Lord, our head, is in heaven. That the one who ascended and who we're reading about here is our head. And we are really in him. We think of that. We're really in the one who ascended. Our head is in heaven. And we are in him, our king on the throne, our head, our high priest. And we know he will return. And we've got work to do. So it was for the apostles. They came back, they rejoiced, they praised God, and they knew they had work to do. They think of what God had promised them and how in this life they had work to do. We also have work that the Lord has for us to do. And may we with joy and gladness in our soul be busy about that work to the honor of our God. We consider this passage under the theme, taken up in the sight of the disciples. And we consider, first of all, the real event. Secondly, the royal priest. We think of him going up and that the one who is exalted is our king and priest, the royal priest. And thirdly, the faithful promise. Taken up in the eyes of the sight of the disciples, the real event, the royal priest, the faithful promise. The ascension was mentioned, that this would happen, was something that was spoken of in the scriptures. You know, we think of it, references to it in the Psalms. And, you know, we sing in the Psalms. And we think about the ascension. And we think Psalm 68, verse 18 is one psalm. Thou hast ascended on high. Thou hast led captivity captive. Thou hast received gifts for men. And so on. We think of references to it in the Old Testament. We think of Psalm 110, where we read, the Lord said unto my Lord, Sit thou at my right hand until I make thine enemies thy footstool. And we think about how Jesus spoke a number of times about how he was going to go to his Father. He said that repeatedly when talking to the disciples. And we have references to that, for example, in the book of John. And in the book of John also, we see this distinction between the resurrection and the ascension. And we recall when Jesus was raised from the dead, and when he talked to Mary Magdalene, and then when he says, I have not yet ascended to my Father. So here he'd been raised from the dead, and yet he makes a distinction between what happened when he was raised from the dead and the ascension. And so also in the Apostles' Creed, we speak about the third day he was raised, he rose again from the dead, and he ascended. We distinguish that from the fact that he ascended into heaven. And then we talk about how he sits at the right hand of God. And we talk about those, the resurrection, the ascension, and the sitting at the right hand of God. There were 40 days in between the resurrection and the ascension. The scripture here speaks of that in verse 3. To whom also he showed himself alive after his passion, after his suffering, he showed himself alive by many infallible proofs, being seen of them 40 days. And speaking of the things pertaining to the kingdom of God. He spoke about the kingdom. He gave instruction concerning the cross. He gave instruction concerning what had happened. First, they saw proof. They heard proof, heard of the resurrection. They saw the resurrected Lord. And then they received instruction about what was happened, what had happened. And they also received instruction about what their calling was. Jesus said, all authority is given to him in heaven and on earth. And they were told to go forth and preach the gospel to the nations. He gave instruction to them during that period. He talked about the kingdom. And now they come to Bethany. That's mentioned in the Luke 24 passage. It says, after he talked to them about tarrying in the city of Jerusalem till ye be endued with power from on high, then in Luke 24, verse 50, it says, he led them out as far as to Bethany, and he lifted up his hands and blessed them. And as far as the location of Bethany, we see it in a reference to, in the book of Acts, to the Mount of Olives. Verse 12, then returned they unto Jerusalem from the mount called Olivet. The Mount of Olives, Bethany. On that Mount of Olives was also Gethsemane. You think of how just recently it had been that he had been at Gethsemane. And when they had sung in hymn, they went out into the Mount of Olives. Matthew 26, verse 30. And then you go a little farther, and it says, then cometh Jesus with them unto a place called Gethsemane. Just a short time ago in Gethsemane. And now very in connection with that mountain, as Gethsemane was on that mountain as well. Now, in connection with that mountain, he is going in that location. He's going to ascend. and his disciples were going to watch until there was a cloud that received him out of their sight and they couldn't see him. It was important for them to think about where he went and where he is. We know there were times before this that he would appear, even if they'd be in a room. You know, we think of the fact that they were in a room and the doors closed and all of a sudden they could see him. And we read of a time when all of a sudden they couldn't see him. And there were different times when he appeared. This time, when they see him go up, and then when they also receive the instruction that they do from the angels, who say, "Ye men of Galilee," and so on, they're being instructed that he's now, there's not going to be these appearances in the way that there had been. He's going to return. And he's going to return in the same way that he was taken up, but it was going to be some time. And still today, we're looking for the coming, the return of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. When Jesus ascended, he really departed. It's important to understand what happened and what we can say about it. It's important for us to recognize the connection between what is taught about his departure and see how it's related to what is taught about his return. Confessing the truth about his return, his second coming, is related to confessing the truth about what happened. What happened when he ascended? Did he really depart? And the answer is that he did. And our creeds, of course, explain this. That Jesus is both God and man. He's the divine and human mediator. With respect to his divine nature, of course, he's omnipresent. But with respect to his human nature, he's in heaven, and he's not on earth. We say in our Lord's Supper form, in the article on the Lord's Supper in the Heidelberg, we say, though Christ is in heaven and we on earth, there's a distinction. Christ is in heaven, we on earth. And then when the question is asked, you know, well, isn't Christ with us? I thought Christ said he would be with us. And here you see, Christ is in heaven and we are on earth. We say, with respect to his human nature, he's no more on earth. But with respect to his Godhead, majesty, grace, and spirit, he's at no time absent from us. The divine limit is beyond the limits of the human nature he assumed, and yet is nevertheless in his human nature and remains personally united to it. He really departed. Jesus said, "Me ye have not always." We think of the fact that from a certain point of view, Christ is in heaven and we're on earth. We do recognize that. When the disciples saw him ascend, that was also to bring out to them that Christ is in heaven and they are on earth. And yet the one who is in heaven, we are united to him. So on the one hand, we think of the fact that he's in heaven and we are on earth, and yet at the same time, we think of the fact that we are united to him. And that's very important in understanding the benefit of the ascension. And it is interesting to see how when we talk about the Lord's Supper, The subject of the ascension comes up in connection with that. And we say, though, what is it to eat and drink Christ? That's the question that's asked. What does that mean? And in the latter part of that answer, we say, to become more and more united to his sacred body by the Holy Ghost, who dwells both in Christ and in us, so that though Christ is in heaven and we on earth, are notwithstanding flesh of his flesh and bone of his bone. That's really true. We're flesh of his flesh and bone of his bone, and that we live and are governed forever. It's not temporary. Forever. By one Spirit, we live and are governed forever by one Spirit as members of the same body are by one soul. We're united to the one that's exalted. The one that is ascended is our priest. And he's our head, our king. And we look at both of those, the fact that he's our priest and the fact that he's our head and our king. The fact that in this event, we think of the fact that he's our priest is quite evident in the fact that Luke 24, when he says, he led them out as far as to Bethany and he lifted up his hands and blessed them. Now, who does that? Lifting up his hands and bless them. And we think, like in the Old Testament, that the priest doing that. And Jesus lifts up his hands and blessed them. And while he blessed them, he was parted from them and carried up into heaven. So that certainly as they see that he puts his hands up and he blesses them and then he's going up. And as they see that, it pointed to the fact that he is the priest. Our priest, the officiating priest. And we think of how the scriptures talk about that in connection with, the temple. It says, for Christ has not entered into the holy places made with hands, which are the figures of the true, but into heaven itself. And when we think of going into the holy places made with hands, we're to think about what that points to. Christ didn't enter into the holy places made with hands, which are the figures of the true. He went into heaven itself, now to appear in the presence of God for us, for you, for me. That was Hebrews 9. Verse 24 brings out that when we think of the ascension, we're to think of Christ's work as priest. We think of the fact that we have our advocate in the presence of the Father. He intercedes for us. He speaks to God for us. And he is heard. Jesus repeatedly spoke about the fact that he was going to go to the Father. He was going to go to the Father. So on the one hand, it speaks of him ascending into heaven, which is a real place. A real place, so that we refer to this as a change of place. And it speaks of him ascending into heaven. And it also speaks of him going to the Father. And that he would intercede for us. And Jesus spoke of that. And We're comforted knowing that He hears us. That God hears His Son. In fact, you recall that the Scriptures bring that out especially or specifically with regard to the forgiveness of sins. It says in 1 John 1, verse 9, if we confess our sins, He's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And then in verse 2 of chapter 2, verse 1, my little children, these things write I unto you, that ye sin not. And if any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. You think of our ongoing struggle with sin, your struggle with sin and mine. We have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. And He's the propitiation for our sins. And not for ours only, but also for the sins of the whole world. Verse 2. We think of that. Our high priest. We have a sympathetic high priest who was tempted, who suffered, who was tempted, yet was without sin. A sympathetic high priest. And when we think of Jesus ascending and when we think of Him raising His hands and blessing the disciples, we think of the fact that our high priest is interceding for us. And we come to God with boldness as we pray, knowing that we will be heard as we pray and ask for blessings for Christ's sake. We pray in Christ's name. We also think of the fact that the one who ascended is our King. We think of the fact that He is exalted to the right hand of God. The next phrase we confess is that He sits at the right hand of God, and we confess that that means that God governs all things through Christ, by whom the Father governs all things. And the one who is governing all things is your head. He's the one that's on the throne. And you think of how when the disciples ask, we know that the disciples, with regard to their understanding of what about the kingdom and the kingdom that Jesus was preaching. He went out preaching the kingdom of heaven, the kingdom of God. We see even right before the ascension, they ask a question about the kingdom. Verse 6, when they therefore were come together, they asked Him, saying, Lord, wilt Thou at this time restore again the kingdom to Israel? And we know that during that time period, He gave instruction and said, all authority is given unto me in heaven and on earth. And now they watch and they're seeing as He goes up. They're beholding Him as He ascends. And you think of how there is instruction there about the kingdom. You think of how many have a carnal view of the kingdom today. There are many that talk about some future carnal kingdom that they're looking for. Many will have us busy And the activities that we're to be engaged in are related. Many have an earthly kind of a view, a carnal kind of a view of the kingdom. We think about Jesus ascending, and we think of the fact that from heaven he rules. That when we think of the kingdom of heaven, we think of the fact that our king, the king, has ascended into heaven, and he sits at the right hand of God, and that God governs things through him, and that he will take us up to himself. We think of the fact that when we think of what's happened to Christ, then we think of what's going to happen to you. There's a connection between him and you and me. Ephesians 2:6 says, verse 5, Ephesians 2:5, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ, by grace you're saved, and hath raised us up together. He's raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. The one that ascended is our head, but we're joined with him. Though he is in heaven and we are on earth, we are nevertheless flesh of his flesh and bone of his bone. We are governed by his spirit. And right in this context, he talked about the pouring out of the spirit. And the Spirit works in us so that we seek things above and not the things on this earth. He is our legal head, and he's also organically our head. And it is certain that we will be taken up to be with him, we who are the members of his body. And knowing and understanding that this same Christ who is our head will return, he who is the head, who is the king, who is the judge, he's going to return, and he's going to return as judge. And we understand that he's going to return as he departed. We believe, according to the word of God, when the time of the appointed by the Lord, which is unknown to all creatures, is come, and the number of the elect complete, that's what needs to happen. When the number of the elect is complete, that our Lord Jesus Christ will come from heaven corporally, which means having to do with the body, and visibly as he ascended, with great glory and majesty, to declare himself judge of the quick and the dead, burning this old world with fire and flame to cleanse it, not to annihilate it, but to cleanse it. That's going to happen. The same one that ascended, he's going to come corporally and visibly as he ascended, which of course is what the angels were talking about here. And now we as the disciples saw that, and we see after the Spirit was poured out, they went and preached and talked about what had happened. We also are guided by the Spirit to understand the ascension, and we confess the truth about the ascension. And in this life, we've got work to do. You know, they were, when they saw him ascend, it says, they worshiped him and returned to Jerusalem with great joy and were continually in the temple praising and blessing God. That's how Luke ends. They returned to Jerusalem with great joy, constantly in the temple praising and blessing God. And then they were going to go forth and bear witness to the truth. There was going to be persecution, hatred. They'd suffer shame. And they even would rejoice to suffer for Christ's sake. And we think of how, and for us, we've got work in this life. We know what God has promised us, and we think of his faithful promise, and we believe that faithful promise of God. We believe it as we go through this life and as we go about our daily tasks in the home, outside of the home, in the workplace, outside of it. We know that we are prophets, priests, and kings. We partake of Christ's anointing. Christ is anointed by this with the Holy Spirit, and we partake of his anointing. And we see how we think of that when we're talking about the Spirit. He promised them that they would, he spoke about the promise of God that they would receive the Holy Spirit. And then we think about the Holy Spirit being poured out at Pentecost, and we talk about that, Lord willing, more on, you know, when we talk about Pentecost soon. But we think about the fact that our Lord is ruling us by his Spirit, and he grants us the strength we need, the power to do the work. Ye shall receive power. God says that to you, that he gives you power. The Holy Spirit is the power of God. He's the eternal power and might of God. And God says to you that he gives you power. He gives you the strength to do the work to do. And you think of what you're called to do, what I'm called to do. You think of how many strive for political office. They want to rise in the world and they strive for political office. And of course, a believer can be in a position of civil government. But you think about what you're called to do. You think of what the disciples were called to do. Jesus told them, ye will receive power, and you're going to be witnesses. Witnesses. He was going to give them power, and they would bear witness to the truth. Now you think of that as far as the understanding of the kingdom. Thinking about what does it mean that, you know, what's your position in the kingdom? What's my position in the kingdom? And the disciples, as they have work that they're going to do in the kingdom, and he says, now you're going to receive power to do what? You're going to be witnesses. You're going to go forth and bear witness to the truth. You're prophets. You're prophets, priests, and kings. You're going to give of yourself as a living sacrifice of thankfulness. You're going to suffer. And of course, Jesus told them that. Jesus told them that they were going to suffer. And the scripture spoke about how those who suffered with Christ, for Christ's sake, that they would be exalted. You think of how Jesus had said, if they persecute me, they're going to persecute you. And you think of how God tells us, if we suffer with him, if so be that we suffer with him, that we may be also glorified together. Our life here will be one of suffering. When we think of how Jesus was exalted, we think of the fact that he humbled himself and was obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. You think of the contrast with regard to what we read of Isaiah 14 that also speaks of ascending into heaven with regard to Lucifer. Isaiah 14, verse 12 says, "How art thou fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning? How art thou cut down to the ground, which didst weaken the nations? For thou hast said in thine heart, I will ascend into heaven. I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. I will sit also among the mount of the congregation. I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. I will be like the Most High." God says, "Yet thou shalt be brought down to hell, to the sides of the pit." We think of the devil. We think of the man by nature that wants to exalt himself. And you think of what God says regarding the proud. Jesus was exalted, but we know that Jesus humbled himself and was obedient unto death, even the accursed death. And now he tells us that we are called to take up our cross and to follow our Savior, to offer ourselves as a living sacrifice of thanksgiving. That when people speak evil against us falsely for Christ's sake, to rejoice. Our Lord tells us that. He told the disciples that. Spoke to Paul about the suffering that was ahead of him. And God gave them power. He strengthened them. He worked in them to bear witness to the truth. They were sinners. We see there's references in different places to the sin, to their sins. They were sinners, constantly going to God for forgiveness, looking to God for forgiveness and deliverance. And so do we constantly look to God for forgiveness and deliverance and to strengthen us for the work that he has for us to do, believing his promise. He grants us the Spirit. He gives us grace. He grants us the blessings that we seek as we come to him requesting these things for Christ's sake. And we think about the promise regarding his return. This same Jesus, which is taken up from you into heaven, shall so come in like manner as you've seen him go. That's going to happen. We know that. And as we go through this life, we do think about what's going to happen. And you recognize that. You recognize that the Spirit works in you to think about that. in the trials that you go through, that it reminds you of what God says. What's going to happen? You're going to be taken up to Christ, your head. That's really going to happen. And you know that. And we're to keep our eyes, we're to keep our mind. We're constantly to think about what God has promised us. We're busy about our daily tasks in the home. And outside the home, we've got tasks that we're engaged in. Each one has a station, a calling, and we're involved in the work. And as we do that, we think also of the fact that we are in Christ and that our head is in heaven. That He suffered and died for us. He atoned for our sins. He arose victorious. He ascended into heaven. And that's our head, our husband. We're in Him. And in this life, we will suffer. But God averts evil or He turns it to our profit. You know that. We know that. May we be busy in the work He's called us to do, to bear witness. To bear witness of others as the Lord opens up the door, looking for that. Showing forth in our confession, showing forth in our life. Showing forth our thankfulness to our God for our salvation. He cares for us. We are the members of His body. Our Lord and our God, who is in heaven. We think of that. Ephesians 5, when it talks about marriage, speaks that way. When it says, "For no man ever yet hated his own flesh, but nourisheth and cherisheth it, even as the Lord, the church." For we're members of His body, of His flesh, and of His bones. Our husband has ascended. He will return for us. May we patiently wait for Him. And may we live to the glory of His name. Amen. Let us pray. O Lord, our God and our Father, we are thankful, O Lord, for Thy grace. Thankful for the comfort that we have of knowing that our Lord, our head, our High Priest, our King is in heaven. And that we are in Him. And that we shall forever be with Thee. That we already have life everlasting. And we think of what will happen. Strengthen us that we may be patient in whatever we're going through today. That we may not despair. That we may not worry. That we may come to Thee. Look to Thee and think of the fact that we have Christ as our intercessor. We're so thankful. We are so richly blessed. Continue to strengthen us and our children for the work to which we are called. Forgive our sins. Bless all Thy people in all nations. For Christ's sake. Amen.